When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Welcome to Cast and Crank Podcast. Today, I have a guest that I've known for a long time, probably about, 17 years, 18 years.
Many moons.
Yeah. So when I started the podcast, and I told Justin, Justin's not here today, he had to work, but what I wanted to do was get a lot of cool fishermen on, but I also wanted to get guys on that are avid fishermen, but do something else really cool. And Andy, I've known from playing in hardcore bands when I was a lot younger. And we used to play at this place called Chain Reaction, and Andy ran Chain Reaction at the time. So we got to play a lot of cool shows there, and Andy actually owns Chain Reaction now, and he's the president of Fearless Records. So he has a really cool story how he started fishing too, but it's kind of cool to run back into people later on in life, and Andy's one of them where, you know, I never knew he was such a big fisherman because I wasn't into it at the time when I was fucking 20 years old playing in hardcore bands. But let's find out how'd you start fishing, Andy? Tell us all about how it started.
Oh, man, cool. Thanks for having me. This is an amazing podcast. Fishing, you know, I grew up in the South Bay, and my dad, it was just literally, and the irony is I ended up working every dawn to sport fishing as, you know, pinhead and deckhand just in the summers and stuff, whale watching, which is always a disaster because everyone threw up. But I went to the pier a lot, and I started fishing on the pier, just literally green peas and shrimp and catching, you know, perch. And my dad took me, and my dad, he fished a lot, but he didn't really like get into it. He wasn't into the gear. He's just like, here's a tackle box that has everything we've ever had. And he took me there, and, you know, that was probably like, you know, 6 or 7, and it just stuck. And I would go down to Hermosa Beach Pier. I would go on the surf a lot. There's a place called Just Fishing by Pete, which is long gone because having a fishing store in prime real estate Hermosa just wasn't a thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, Pete would let me use a sandcraft rake, and I'd go, and I mean, I would just literally catch perch all day, like 30 fish days. Now? I mean, I did that from like, you know, it's funny. I always put this with grades because I was like, who are my friends in second and third and fourth grade that would come down to the beach? And, you know, it was like a lot of guys' stories, like, hey, mom, pick me up at this time, you know, and my mom would be super fucking pissed if I was still fishing, you know, she'd be like, I was here for 15 minutes. I was like, yeah, I'm sorry. They're fucking biting, mom, you know? So every day of my life in the summer, I was either fishing or my grandfather was a farmer. Up in Mettler, California, if y'all don't know where it's at, it's kind of like Bakersfield, just out the Bakersfield. And so he grew seedless watermelons. And cantaloupe, which if you've never picked cantaloupe before, you'll hate it. So don't pick either. Cantaloupe will make your arms rash up. I was forced to work at the farmer's markets and fish. And I remember getting in a fight with my dad because it would be at the farmer's market. This is probably when I was like, you know, 12, 13, 14. And I'm sitting there like, oh, fuck, like, you know, I want to go fishing. And I'm like, Dad, I'm not working Tuesday. I'm fishing. It's, you know, it's biting, you know?
Yeah.
He'd be so fucking pissed at me. But, you know, it was such a good experience working that. I was, able to buy my own first rods. I remember my first custom rod. You know,
no way. Like, where is it from?
I don't remember the spot anymore. It was in Gardena, right off the freeway. And I just remember it was like $100-something, you know? And I was so stoked. It's actually crazy. I actually still have, I use a lot of my rods that I used when I was like 15 18. I still have them.
Yeah.
Like the first Aluas. Like
yeah.
First series, like literally cut them down. Like I still have that.
No way.
You know, a lot of early G Loomis stuff. I still have the old newels, aluminum newels.
Yeah.
Those are like, you know, when you fish in Redondo, at least when I did, there's a lot of friends with this guy, Danny. I believe he still runs Sport Boats Marine Del Rey. And Marky. And it was all, we're the Sea Spray guys. You know, that was the boat. It was a three-quarter boat. It was a Twilight boat.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, that was the boat that they used to throw me in the water on. That was the boat that I used to literally scrub every scale off of. And that was the boat I, you know, was forced to eat a yellowtail heart, which was awesome. That was El Nino 1997.
They don't do that anymore, huh?
I don't know. I
heard someone died from that or some
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, you can.
You can?
Yeah, you can get something wrong with you. But, you know, it's worth it. You have to eat the heart. It's for luck.
Yeah,
know?
Dude.
So, you know, from fishing that, you know, and then I love fishing freshwater. I was lucky. I have an uncle, my dad's oldest brother. He just passed away. He was the best man in the world.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, I hunt and I fish. And every May I would get out of school and we'd go to Bass Lake. And he had a cabin up there, his family. And we would just, you know, I would fish the streams and catch trout. You know, I'd literally just fish streams, trout. Then he'd be like, all right, let's go fish lakes, fish crappie, you know, fish bass. I mean, I caught so many fish on accident, you know, like with like crappie jigs or mini jigs, like this fucking bass, I'd see it sitting there and be like, oh my God, you know, I'm like a little kid.
Yeah.
I'm literally on the docks by myself, you know, I'm like a little kid. And I felt so lucky that I had, you know, cause I didn't grow up with any means, you know, we didn't have money. We kind of lived in, you know, we lived the way we could get by. But my uncle was always just like, hey, you like fishing? Let's go. You know, and I had older cousins who, man, they treated me like I was their own.
Yeah.
And I was just so lucky. They took me, they took care of me. They drove me around. Like, you want to fish? You go with, you know, so I was so, so lucky to have those people in my life. But once I got addicted was like, just around, I mean, I straight kind of quit football to fish. I'm not going to lie.
The big deal for you, right?
I was like a starting left tackle and right tackle. Like, I love football. And I was just like, fuck, this all summer or like on the boats all summer?
Yeah.
You know, and it was.
So you're like high school.
Yeah. Once high school hit, I was just like, I was there 7 days a week. You couldn't keep me away from the boats. And it was cool because when you're a young kid, you meet all the dudes, right?
Yeah.
So you met like, you know, I met like rad punk rock dudes that like, you know, we talk about punk rock and like, you know, I was going to Descendants shows and people were like, you're wearing like, who are you? You're like a little kid, you know? So in the South Bay, there's bands like, you know, obviously Pennywise and all that, but all the Theologian record bands. So like I ended up meeting some of these guys at the Impossible. So I'd be at punk rock shows, you know, and then I would be at, then turned into hardcore shows. And then I'd also be fishing.
Yeah.
You know? So there's a lot of guys like, you know, I know like there's a lot of correlation between surf, skate, action sports, and fishing. But at the time, there really wasn't, you know, at least for South Bay. It was my little world with South Bay. But, you know, I mean, I was so, you know, I started pin hitting on the boats, you know, around the El Nino 97s when I caught everything. That was like the holy shit. We caught a skipjack in Redondo Harbor.
Yeah, like, dude.
Caught a skipjack in the harbor, like around the bubble where like it was a skipjack and everyone freaked out. There's a bluefin caught on the half day boat, the Redondo special that year.
Fuck,
like random, you know.
Yeah.
Crazy shit that happened that year. A lot of yellowtail, like half a mile of the harbor.
Yeah.
And then the next year is when it got really crazy because on the squid floats right from the harbor, the white sea bass were just bonkers. Like, and it was like late summer, you know? So I caught like huge sea bass. My dad just sent me some pictures that he found, you know, of us holding, you know, 30, 40 pound white sea bass. And I've been like, you know, I don't think I even shaved. I was so young still, you know, I'm like seeing holding these like white sea bass. I couldn't even cut one up at that point.
Yeah.
You know, so I did a ton of that. Sea bass, sand bass, barracuda, calicos. And then towards like, I also, the fuel dock, the owner of the fuel dock had a little whaler and me and a few dudes that went to Redondo High School. Don't know him to this day, but we were like, let's just take the skiff out, you know, like, let's just go make mackerel. Get a big 6-aught pen reel and just catch a yellowtail in the kelp. Like, we've never done that. We didn't, like, there's no meter.
Yeah.
We called the salty dog or salty wiener. We're just like, let's just go out. We kind of know the area. And let's just see if we can catch a yellowtail. And we fucking caught yellowtail. You know, we catch mackerel in the harbor.
Did you meet the dude at the fuel dock? Like, did you know him or something?
We're just kids in the area.
And you just say, hey, can I use your boat?
No, the owner. He's like, yeah, you guys can use it. Yeah, you can see. He's really nice. He was pretty wealthy, I think. And he's just, yeah, you can use it. So we just took it out. And anyone that went with us the first time out, we threw them in the cabin and they're like, just fucking went. And everyone, you had to get your ass beat to get out there. But, you know, we caught, you know, I remember the first time we caught a big yellowtail on a mackerel in the kelp. And the half day boats were by us. And we were just like, so proud. We were screaming and holding it up. Like, look at us. We're just a bunch of fucking kids. Like, you guys can't do it. You know, the city of Redondo, there's Frank who ran that boat. A lot of people ran their own special. I don't know actually what's running out of Redondo. Sport. I mean, I thought it was like the coolest thing as a kid, but I haven't fished there ever. I think the pier that I worked on, which I ended up working in the box office, like literally like selling tickets to guys going on boats. Like, oh, you'll hold your spot and they tip you, you know? Yeah, and I've caught on the pier, I caught gnarly fish.
Yeah.
So we caught white sea bass on the pier. Obviously, the bonita everyone fished were halibut, you know, ton of halibut. But the freakiest thing, I caught a 27-pound sheephead on the pier.
Fucking huge,
on fresh dead squid. Yeah.
God.
It was super funny because we thought it was a sea bass and it like, it popped up and we looked at it and we're just like, well, do we stick it? I don't know. Like, do we bring it? Sure. Like, you know, I still have a picture of that and it's just super funny. It's just monster, the fucking biggest sheephead ever. You know, and like we didn't know. We were like, do we kill it? I guess we do. Like, is it weird that we kill it? And is it poisonous? It's in the harbor. But Redondo Harbor's nuts. There's broomtail grouper.
That's like, what I heard. Yeah.
I've seen them. Like, I used to feed them. Oh, like, wow. They're there and they sit right there. They're fucking huge, you know, like 150 pounds or something. And they live in that harbor.
Yeah.
You know, we've seen like white sharks come in that harbor.
Fuck.
When I worked on a whale watch boat and we were sitting there loading everyone up, we had gray whales come in the harbor, and the harbor's tiny.
Yeah.
You know, we had a gray whale come in. I was like, well, do we leave?
Yeah. You can watch the whale right here, assholes.
The whale watch boat was the Voyager, and it's a double decker, just an absolute single screw, just pile up from probably from the 30s, you know? And I worked on that boat, and the captain who did it, who worked with me, is Captain Derry Darvin. He was kind of a legend when I was growing up. He's like, he taught me, he's like, drive the boat. I'm going to sleep, you know? And I remember he's like, you know, part of the stop is you go by the seal buoy and all seals are hanging out to show what, you know, the seals.
Yeah.
And he's like, turn closer to the buoy, you pussy. I'm like, screaming at me, you know, in front of kids, like, get closer, you pussy. And he's like, fucking too close. Oh, too close. And we fucking hit the buoy and people are freaking out. And, you know, the side of the boat's all scraped up and he's like, oh man, John's going to be fucking pissed. It's like, let's get some spray paint. It's like, okay, we spray paint the side, dude. And it looks so bad. You're like, of course, fucking looks like spray paint. Like, you know, it was, but we had so much fun. Like, you know, just like, I think the coolest part about it was just like the camaraderie and hanging out afterwards, you know, sleeping on the boat and like, let's go fish Catalina tomorrow. And then we do, you know, then we did a twilight trips. Like I hung out with dudes and we fished and we just,
and you're how old right now?
So I'm 36.
Well, I mean, at that time.
Oh, so this started when I was like 13.
Fuck, dude.
Yeah. And then I ran all the way till I kind of college out here, you know? So it did, you know, I did a lot of it. So
you stopped, when did you like kind of stop?
So when I came to college, when I moved out here for college, 19 years old, Orange County, like you get distracted, you know, especially when you're like punk and hardcore, like. We had friends everywhere. Like, you know, when you get that age, like you're flying. I mean, for me, like we flew to New York. We had friends all over the place. There's bands. Like it was, it's a different parallel. It's like you had friends in fishing. They're all there.
Yeah.
But like you had friends all over the world all of a sudden, you know, then you start touring. It's so fucking fun. Like, you know, like you're sleeping in random places. You're meeting people. You're doing a lot of weird shit, playing shows, you know,
were you edge then or no?
I was straight edge till I was, 25 years old.
You beat me as 23.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I think...
Because when we went on tour, I was still straight edge. I remember... Yeah. I mean, remember going to Reno? No, Reno, I was drunk. I was like 22. But yeah, I remember because everyone would drink. Yeah. And I'd be like, I'm not drinking.
Yeah.
You end up fucking driving or some bullshit, you know?
Oh, it's so funny because a lot of guys I know in Orange County are still straight edge and I think it's cool. I have no... I think straight edge was like amazing. Like to be honest, if I wasn't straight edge in certain parts of my life, as cliche as it sounds, like hardcore saved my life. Yeah, like my brother's in prison. My sister just got out of prison. Like hardcore really like that. I don't want to be my siblings. I want to be something else. I believe in. It saved me for a minute, you know?
No, I agree. Like I didn't drink in high school.
Yeah.
I did other bad shit like breaking shit and fighting, you know, but.
Lots of that.
And I mean, yeah, I agree. I'm on the same page with you. And like, God, some of my best friends are still from music, you know, yeah. Like I still talk to like Bo.
Yeah.
You know, like it's crazy.
All my
but
friends.
Being straight edge the later in the life, you know, is kind of holding on to that, like Bo can still. Yeah. Like, you know, so.
Holding on. Like, look, I think at a certain age, you're just like, fuck it, I'm in, you know?
Yeah.
And a lot of guys are like that. And they're, and like I said, dude, no one's like, oh, you know, straight edge is so. What's funny, but after I broke edge, everyone's like, Andy's still straight edge. Like people like, you know, and you don't tell people.
I know.
Because like there's almost some kind of like.
You broke edge, bro.
You know, that was like a thing. It's like, no, dude, like straight edge is amazing. And still people, if they're straight edge, that's cool. But like if you want to drink and, you know, have drugs or anything, it's cool. I remember when I was like, this is really funny. When I was like 14, we like kind of 13. I guess like 13. We're like, we're in eighth grade. We're like, oh, we're fucking straight edge. We're all straight edge. And we are like exposure to straight edge at that point was just Minor Threat.
Yeah, you know? Of course.
We didn't get really into the Earth Crisis X-ing up. Like we weren't quite there yet, but
Path Resistance.
That came really soon. Path Resistance, you know, like, man, we're going to carve an X in someone's back. It's like, yeah, that's never fucking happening. But we were so, you know, we really felt so, you know, connected. But I remember we all went and we thought we were straight edge. We went to a party and my friend had an older brother and he was like a senior in high school. So we're little kids when we went to this party.
Yeah.
And like, I remember it was like, you know, the red Solo cup and there's beer in there. And like, I think it was like five of us and we're kind of like, oh, who's going to drink? You know? And like I did and my friend did. And everyone gave us so much shit. Like after, but we're all like, everyone's like looked at like they're going to do it. But like we just wanted like, oh, we want to fit in. These are all older kids. Like, yeah, seniors in high school. Right? We did it. And everyone's like, you guys fucking broke edge. Like you guys like, you know.
It's just going to sound so dorky to dudes that never were
so
straight edge.
So dorky.
I'll be like, oh, yeah, this is what we did. This is what me and Andy were into. It was hardcore, dude, and edge. And,
you know, but it was, you know, but look, you know, I think a lot of people correlate straight edge with like, oh, people did it for religious reasons. They're afraid of their parents or whatever. It's like, it's almost the exact opposite. Like, I kind of did straight edge because I saw a lot of damaging effects in my family growing up and other people around me, not necessarily my parents. My parents were basically straight edge, but. You know, my siblings and other people is just like, yeah, man, I don't know if that's for me, you know? And I was going to FYP shows and I was like, you know, like fifth grade. I remember my dad dropped me off and it's like, you know, one of the first shows I went to by myself, was like a ill repute show, War Called Peace. No one will know these bands. If you do, that's
Fred,
fucking sick.
Fred
you know?
Will.
Yeah.
Fred Clinchaw.
Yeah. And then, you know, that was like right when Third Wave Ska started breaking. So it was like 92 or 93 or something. But
yeah.
I remember I went to FYP show. And I went by myself as a little kid, probably like 10 or something. You know, I was like, oh, Mohawk chain wallet, you know, whatever thought was cool at the time. And then my dad picked me up and he's like, you're fucking high. I'm like, and I'm like, what? He's like, you smoke weed? I'm like, I don't even know what the fuck you're talking about. And I remember crying in the car ride home because he's like screaming at me. He's like, don't you ever do drugs? You know someone there, someone's doing it. And I'm like, I don't know what weed is. I didn't know what weed was. I thought he meant cigarettes.
And you know, it happens. Because like I was ninth grade and I had a Reagan Youth CD. And I'm Mexican. So my parents, I left it. I was listening to it. They're not white power.
Yeah.
You know, so my parents my dad grabs me by the fucking shirt and goes, don't you know you're a fucking Mexican? Whoa, bro, calm down. It's this political shit. You know, it's not. You know, and it's crazy. God. So it's, dude, stuff like that. Your parents just, I think it's growing up.
Totally.
Right.
And, you know, what the really funny part is like, you'll know this. Members like, you know, you kind of crew up, like you have your crew, your dudes, you know, we have all our dudes. Know. But like, you know, you have straight edge guys, you have the Orange County dudes, which over time, everyone became friends. Yeah. But then there was always like the skins and sharps, you know, which dude, I knew a ton of them. But like you'd have each other's backs. You're like, yo, hey, like, you know, all the skins are going with the, you know, straight edge kids because the Nazis are here.
I always beat up the Nazis. Everyone always dead Kennedys, dude.
Everyone is okay. Everyone teamed up. They set aside all their differences when the Nazi rolled in.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, all right, we're all friends here because the Nazis rolled in, you know?
Yeah.
Super funny.
So you're, gosh, you started running chain when?
Wow. So I started booking all the hardcore shows and punk shows, you know?
So I was like 2000?
Oh, man, that was, right when I moved to Orange County.
Like 2002, right?
I was 2000, probably 2002.
Okay.
Yeah, so I started booking all our friends' bands. And my friends' bands also included big bands, Avenged Sevenfold, bands that went on and did crazy stuff. And yeah. I was just like, yo, I work here. I was a security guard. And I was like, I will do these shows with my friends, and I will take all the money and I'll give it to them, and it'll be awesome because they can tour. You know, it was a much different environment then. Touring business is so different now. But then, you know, that's what I wanted to do. I was like, hey, I'm in college. I'm, you know, doing this in Cal State Fullerton. I'm just going to book shows and have fun, you know? Yeah. And it was great. And then when John Halpern, who booked the club at the time, was still one of my closest friends, he went and worked for Golden Voice, which is the big promoter, does, you know, Coachella and whatnot. He went to Golden Voice running the Glass House. So I took over chain. And I was, you know, that was probably 2005. And I was like getting almost done with college. And I was just like, dude, I'm doing this. This is my job, you know? Like, I get to book shows and hang out. And it's crazy because, like, you don't realize it. Like, talking about people paying your dues. And, like, you know, guys pay their dues on boats. You know, you come up, you get your hours. There's a lot of stuff when you're a sport boat guy or, you know, your own business. It's like any business. It's like, I worked 7 days a week. I was at a show every night.
Yeah.
For, like, years. Not, like, 1 year, 2 years. Like, 5 years. Like, and then I worked all day booking the shows. And for me, just networking. Like, you just have to meet people, you know?
Yeah.
So that's how music is. It's like, people get pretty closed off until they meet you. And you're like, oh, fuck, you fish. Or, hey, you do this. Like, you know? And you just, like, you become friends. And when you meet people face-to-face, they want to do business with you, you know? So I spent a lot of my time doing that. And then being at shows every night because you wanted to see it. You wanted to say what's up to the bands, agents, managers, whoever's showing up. So I started doing that, and then one of my best friends went to go work for a record label called Roadrunner, which is primarily like a hard rock label. And my first boss, who I still call my second father, his name is Dave Rath. he sails a lot, so I go sailing with him. I always call it.
Oh yeah,
that's the boat that Nickelback paid for. Quite literally, it's a beautiful sailboat.
Nickelback was on Roadrunner?
They were. And they were at Nickelback at the time. And, you know, not now, but at the time, man, they were just, they had a run. They wrote hit songs. Yeah, I mean, everyone could just say they hate Nickelback. My God, you can't deny those songs. Spider-Man soundtrack, you know, like you can't deny those. They're hit records and they're, you know, from my limited experience with them, they're good people, you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, I never judge anyone. If I do get bummed when dudes in bands are assholes, like especially when I look up to them, you know, I'm like, fuck, that band was pricks. But you know, the thing is you get people on bad days, especially when you're touring, you know, this,
you know, that even happens with fishing, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a couple of people like I've met and I'm like, okay, maybe it was a bad day. And it was,
yeah,
you know, but it happened. I think it's just everywhere. When you get into an industry and you're like, oh, this dude looks so fucking cool. And, and then he's a fucking asshole. And you're like, oh man, really?
I know.
You
know,
you would have been like a super cool.
Totally. I think it's worse because with Instagram, you're like, right? That dude's fucking sick. Dude. Like, you know, he's someone I would hang with, you know? And it's funny for me, myself, at least, like I love fishing. I preach fishing to everyone. I convert people.
Yeah.
Like I take people and they're like, they buy the gear and they have way better gear than I do. And they go fishing and they spend a lot of time on the water. I have three kids. I literally have like nine jobs. I don't fish as much, but you know, I do fish with Dwayne, who he just had on the show. Yeah. Dwayne is probably like my favorite dude in the world to fish with. I've been fishing with him for quite, I don't know how many years, maybe five or six years.
And you fished with Reynolds before too, huh?
Yeah. Justin Reynolds. He's amazing. Yeah. Good dude. Solid. Like him and I always talk big, crazy ideas about, you know, bringing, you know, more youth into fishing, more underprivileged people, which is something I want to do.
Yeah.
Like when I do have a minute, you know, I want to speak to more people in the industry about that. I think whether it's fishing here or lake, I think fishing is one of those things, and even like camping and hiking, I won't say hunting because kids can't do that, but yet, it's one of those things. It's like, if you don't have the gear, you automatically think it's expensive. You know what I mean? So it's like, you can help people be like, hey, here's the gear and here's how you do it. Like I remember fishing in Salt, like in Utah, the one family vacation I did with my parents. And like, we bust out the gear to go fishing. We're using 10-pound tests to try to catch trout. Like, we didn't catch trout, and I knew right then and there we were going to catch trout.
Yeah.
Like, I was a kid. I was like, we're not using the right shit, you know?
Yeah.
So I think, like, part of the education, getting people to have the experience one time, it really, it's like, for me, fishing's never been about just catching fish. You know, I'm not that dude that's like, oh, fuck, I broke off a 10-pound yellowfin. My life's over. Like, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
It's about hanging out with my friends. So when I take Dwayne, I take a lot of guys to Dwayne who've never fished before. And all they want to do is fish. And then they're all music dudes. And they all tell people, you know, like, I just took a bunch of people out on Vendetta, Rad Boat in San Diego, just for a half-day trip. I'm like, hey, I have guys in town from the East Coast. I have singers and bands. I had people catch spotted bay bass and halibut. I've never caught fish in their life.
Fun.
Yeah, on I good bet gear.
They're probably still.
Yeah. They're like, I was like, wait, this is your first fish? Like, this is the first fish I ever caught. I was like, well, you look like you're good at it. Because, like, I didn't teach you how to cast that thing. You kind of just figured it out, you know? And the crew on that boat, the captain, they're such good dudes. And they made it so fun for everyone. Everyone's like, we got to do this more often, you know? Like, when we're in town, like, we just got to go.
Yeah.
You know, I do, like, 4 or 5 trips a year with Dwayne. I book them a year in advance.
Yeah.
Like, as soon as June comes, I'm like, Dwayne, these are the dates next year. We literally stick to the same schedule, like, to the day, you know? So I know, and I tell my wife, I'm gone these days. There's no cell reception. I'm good, you know? And that's really beneficial for any of us, you know, who just don't have the time because, you know, boat rips. You can get out to the grounds fast.
Dude.
You know, sitting on an overnight boat as much as it's fun playing cards and drinking beers and getting in your, you know, the bunk and just, you know, the experience, it's just a slog. It's tough. And if I give that experience to dudes, I don't think they'll like it as much getting with Dwayne. And you're never going to find anyone in the world that wants to catch a fish harder than Dwayne. Like,
yeah.
He's just, I mean, I've been on trips with him. It was just like, you know, we don't get baby, it's like sundowner. It's like stupid. And it's like, great, you know, ride in, listen to dope music.
Yeah.
The sun setting, no other boats around. It's just such a good feeling. Like that feeling's irreplaceable for me. It's like, no matter what, when the sun is setting on Pacific Ocean and you put a herd on them and you're cruising in and you put some dope music on, whether it's you listen, Dwayne likes to listen a lot of reggae, listen a lot of like old, like Quicksand or something like that.
Yeah.
I'm like that hour, 2-3 hours in, it's like the best. It's like, man, all the worries in the world just went away. You know, the work stresses, any family stresses, just like, boom. You know, so that's, you know, I fish with Justin. There's a lot of guys I want to fish. Since I've listened to the show, I'm just like, fuck, I need to fish with him. Fred Clinch, I'm fishing with him.
Yeah,
like, I'm Fred. Finding a date immediately.
Brandon, or Brendan, I'm sorry, Sand Kings.
Sand Kings, yes. Yeah. That dude seems like he's just a rad dude.
Oh, so I was like, and he's a band guy too.
Yeah,
I forgot the name of his band, but he gave me his record, dude. And he's played their chain. He's played
that's right.
Yeah,
dude. I watch that episode because so when I don't have time, I surf fish, right?
Yeah, dude.
And I fish fucking every beach, you know. And I'm like, and like that episode made me like my wheels turn. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm just like, yeah, there's fish everywhere. I'm not looking at the tide charts. I'm not really focusing on moon phases like I would on other trips, like with Dwayne or anyone. I'm just sitting here being like, there's fish here. Let's just try to get them.
Yeah.
You know? And like, fortunately, I do have some spots I've gone to and I can catch, you know, a lot of perch or croaker or whatever, you know, yellowfin or corbina, spotted bay bass. And for me, when I take fish the beach or the bays, it's usually for my kids.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I have 3 kids. Like, even my 2-year-old daughter fishes, you know. But the problem is they want to, like, keep the fish forever. I'm like, no, we got to let it go, you know. Like, I have a frozen smelt, I'm not kidding, in my freezer at home that my son caught. And he's wanted to keep it. And he, like, takes it out and looks at it all the time. Like, it's a smelt, a jack smelt, a huge jack smelt.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're on Vendetta. You know, he was literally on the bait tank for 4 hours playing with anchovies.
Right.
Anchovies that day is great. He's like, everyone's like, your son is so self-entertaining. Like, he loves these things. I'm like, the dude likes fish. He likes fish.
Dude.
I mean, he's a kid. He's 7. He eats clams, mussels. I've taken him lobster hooping with, Brandon. I've done, you know, he's a fishy kid.
Yeah.
You know, he loves whales and sharks. That's his whole life.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like every time it's like, hey, you want to go fishing? It's so weird. People don't believe me because like, I tell people, hey, you want to go surf fishing? Like, get your kids up and, you know, I'll meet you down there at 6. And they're like, 6? Fucking kid's not waking up at 6. I wake my kid up at 4:30. He's 7. I go, Eddie, let's go fishing. He's like, cool. Pops up.
Fuck.
My daughter, who's 4, comes running out. Don't go fishing without me.
Oh, man.
It's 4:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
Like, my wife's like, what are you doing? Like, I literally wasn't trying to wake her up. you know, she's excited to go.
That's,
you know,
cool, man.
But when I do get them out there, sometimes it's only like an hour and they're like, where are the fish, dad? You know, like, I gotta wait, you know? So it's, you know, and I always want to teach people. Like last summer, I took a bunch of people, like our friends, we were camping in Doheny. And I didn't know where there's going to be fish there. I was like, yeah, they, you know, brought a bunch of, you know, hatch rods and, you know, some lugworms and shit. And it was just literally every cast. Nice. And the kids were freaking out, little sharks, everything. There was like, they couldn't believe the fish were in a foot of water. You know, dude. So sand is like, so surf fishing is something I want to be able to, you know, step my game up. I just want to be the guy sitting there fishing the beach. I want to be like, hey, I can figure this out.
Reading
and find areas.
Yeah, exactly.
I want to learn that, you know, because I love a challenge. Like that's probably 90% of the guys that we fish here. We don't like, you know, we fish, we want a challenge. If it's easy, it's a little boring, right?
Exactly.
It's like just a catfish or something. Just,
catfish.
And don't get me wrong, I'll catch a catfish.
Me too.
In the summer, I go to the local park. I fly on night crawl. I just catch a catfish on 2 pound.
That's fun, dude.
It's awesome. Or they catch a little bluegill or a catfish or baby bass. It's just like, my kids freak out. I love it, you know?
Yeah, anything. Like bluegill. I go to Laguna Lake up the street.
And Laguna's good.
I'll take my middle one and just let him put a bobber and cast out with those little Spider-Man pole and just catch bluegill.
Yeah.
It's good enough, dude.
Dave Richardson and I fish that lake a few times.
It's a great lake. That's where I caught my first like real largemouth on my own.
Yeah.
Like, it's a good lake, dude.
I love all the local lakes. I live by Eisenhower, if anyone knows Eisenhower.
It's a good one, too.
Eisenhower's good. It's just... Man, that one gets a lot of people fishing there. I just don't know why. I think it's because it's right there out the freeway or something. Mm-hmm. But more so than, you know, Tri-City or Laguna, there's just people there always fishing, you know?
Yeah, people are like, local park lakes, it's like its own thing to me. Like, you know?
Yeah. I wish Irvine Lake was still open. Right before it closed, because that's where I really caught my first trout everything. Right before it closed, I took my son there. I was like, it's closing down. Yeah. So I took my son. I was like, you got to catch what I caught here.
Yeah.
So I took him and we caught catfish and trout. And it was like... one of those things that was cool before, you know, they close the doors. I think it'll be open again.
I hope.
Someone has to figure it out.
Yeah, because that was like such a close lake for me, dude. It'd be like a half hour drive.
Yeah.
I never had to take my boat on there, but I've been there with my uncle. That's where I caught my first bass with my son, recorded it. I'm screaming like a fucking idiot. But then when I got into, my uncle put me on a bass there and drop shot. Dude, I love that lake.
You know, it's funny when it comes to screaming and fishing, in Redondo, I grew up, like, whenever we hooked fish, we screamed. So, like, whenever I'm on a party boat and I hook something, or even, like, on a lake, I scream just out of habit.
Yeah.
And people are like, what the fuck's wrong with you? And I think, oh, it's kind of fun.
Just
you know,
bro.
Just, like, be happy. Like, this is kind of cool, you know? Like, I always, like, you know, I always look at, you know, like, fishing around people. Like, I'm just trying to have a good time.
Yeah.
You know, and I want people around me to have a good time. I want everyone in the industry to have a good time, you know, and that's it. Like, that's what it should be. I'm encouraging more people to fish. Like, so I'm bringing dudes who've never caught fish to fish with the most fishiest dude ever, you know? And they're like, and they love it. They fall in love. Like, even though they get seasick and this, whatever it is, they're like, oh my God, I caught a tuna. Like, I never thought I'd catch a tuna in my life. I'm like, yeah, we're like, you know, 20 miles from the bay. We're good, you know?
It's crazy.
Like, we're going to be home at noon. It's going to be awesome.
Yeah. That's the biggest.
And we're going to have pokey for the next 3 days, you know, and sashimi. So
So then from Roadrunner, where did you go next? Like, how did that whole thing play out?
So I started at Roadrunner as a scout. So I met my boss, Dave Rath, and he flew out. It's a really funny story. He'll probably hate this, but... if he ever hears this, he came to LA and we met on Melrose somewhere and he pulled up in a convertible, like really fast and parked. I'm like, fuck this guy. Cause like, look, I'm a punk rock dude, you know, like to the core, I'm DIY. Like, I'm like, so in my head, I'm like, man, record labels just steal money from bands. That was like, what was in my head.
Yeah.
I was like, and this guy pulled up in a fucking, like, who rents a convertible, you know, cause he's from New York. And we get to talking. He's like the coolest dude ever. So he's like, oh, you want to move to New York? I'm like, nope. I'm a guy here, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, okay, well, why don't you scout for us? You know, pay a little bit of money and you look at talent, and if you find something, bring it in. So we did that for a little bit and we got some winners. You know, one of them was, you know, big in you know, Young the Giant was a band that came from that process, you know?
You helped with that one?
Yeah, yeah. So
really?
They're friends. They're called the Jakes. They play Chain Reaction all the time.
Really? Oh, that's the same.
Same band.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you'd be the people that Chain Reaction has birthed in terms of songwriters or artists. Like, okay, so their band failed or their band didn't, you know, they toured, they had some fun. Like, for me, if you went and toured successfully for 5 years and a half a job or whatever, that's a fucking win.
Yeah, definitely.
Because, like, that's an experience that it's not like you're going to go fly around every state. Like, how are you going to get that for free?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the best lesson. But, like, tour managers, you know, Skrillex, like, you know, everyone came through Chain, right?
Yeah.
They may have been in another band. Like, I know a ton of songwriters, biggest songwriters in the world, writing songs for all the biggest pop artists in the world. They all came through Chain. All of them, you know? Yeah. You name the artist, these guys, like, you know, I'll meet these songwriters, like, hey, like, we'll get to talking. Like, oh my God, you're in that band? You know, it's just like, they found ways in other industries, producers, writers, you know, engineers, and it's really cool. So there's always like this line, like, you kind of came from this world of punk, metal, indie, emo, you know, that's like a toxic word to people. But that's, you know, that's where they came from. And then there's bands that keep doing it on a huge successful level, you know?
Yeah.
They went the Fall Out Boys of the world. They'll take it back. So they go and play Chain, and they kind of went and they have huge careers, you know? Avenged Sevenfold, like one of the biggest metal bands in the world.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I remember when Birdo and I beat the shit out of people.
Oh, there's many of those.
They were Nazis. But, you know, like, those were, you know, I didn't live in Orange County at that time yet, but or maybe I just moved to Orange County. But those, you know, those were like the things that, you know, you meet people and then, you know, all my friends, like, I wish I had more friends from high school. There's a few, but I don't talk to them like I do. Yeah. There's literally like less than I can count on one hand. But all my friends from music, there's a million. And now they're friends with fishing, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, this is one of the guys I fish with the most, this guy, James Makey. He's an incredible bass fisherman and a solid, solid human being. But, like,
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
You know, him and I fish at Dwayne a lot, but he fishes a lot of freshwater fishing. But, you know, through him, through Dave Ito, we welcome your life, and Dave, and all the Tommy Love and Throwdown guys, Throwdown Hardcore Straight Edge Band. Those guys fly fish, by the
way. Dude, I haven't heard that name in Tommy Love in 15 years. He's a fly fisherman?
Tommy and Dave are like...
Really?
If you try to catch a trout, like, any other way than a fly, it's like, huh. You know?
Oh, that's cool, okay. Dude. Yeah.
So that they trout fish, and, you know, so I used to hang out at Obey because Obey was like, you know, early on, it was like, you know, it was a lot of correlations with music. So I'd hang out there with this guy, Timmy Tillemans, who's one of my closest friends. We watch Raider games every Sunday together. We try to, we have all families now, but, and through Timmy, we used to watch it Raider games at this fucking pizza, Fountain Valley, like lamppost. Mm-hmm. And I met this dude, James Mankey. He's like, oh, James fishes, you know, like. He's a Bengals fan, but he fishes. So we met there and we became close friends. Like,
yeah.
We fish a lot. And literally it's all through music. If you it's look cool, at it, you know, dude, and then Ryan Fitzpatrick, whose brother worked at Lamppost, who's a Raider fan. He's the only vegan dude I know that fishes. He's awesome. He's vegan, but he eats what he catches.
No way.
Yeah.
That's cool.
He has an almond farm in like Bakersfield. He teaches surf lessons. He's like the sickest dude. He has a gnarly beard. Yeah. We like kind of like a big fucking last big bluefin we caught. Ryan killed it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and he's vegan. I think it was like $1.60, $1.70.
Wow.
And yeah, he was the one that finished it. So, you know, he's vegan. You know, he's like, you know, he catches halibut in Alaska. He ships it home. He eats it, you know.
That's nice.
Good dude, though.
Yeah.
And like, that's all from being a Chain, you know. Wow. And meeting these dudes. Like, oh, Dave Ito. Oh, cool. Obey. Like, oh, Timmy. Then all of a sudden, I meet all these dudes. And somebody's a fish, you know.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool because, you know, how you and I are back together. Even like... Yo, you fish? Like, I don't know. There's such a good bonding experience. Like, just shooting the shit and fishing.
Even Davey, dude. It's like Davey's I've known before everyone. When we first started our first band, Eric and Rana, dude, they were still doing... They did
their reply.
Band. Yeah, dude. And we would be practice at the same studios. And I'm like, that's how I saw him fishing first. I think it was a picture.
Dave Reply.
Yeah, Dave Reply, dude.
Dave Reply, yeah.
And he lives up the street, dude. That's cool.
Dave's he's nearby. You know, Dave, as much as, you know, him and I, you know, we'll go, we shoot a lot together. We have a few hunting trips in the next couple of months together, and we try every minute to fish. You know, it's like, hey, like, you want to go hit the local lake? Sure, let's just do it, you know? Yeah. We like, you know, I wanted to get him trout fishing a little bit more this summer because I was like, you know, kind of gotten the mini jig fishing. I was like, fuck, like, this is just a new challenge. Yeah. Like, I remember doing this when I was younger, but... Now it's a thing. Like, before I called them crappie jigs, and I caught trout on them.
Yeah.
That's literally what I called them crappie jigs. That's what my uncle called them.
Yeah.
And now they're just, you know, there's mini jigs, you know, ultra heavyweights and Trout King and other companies. And there's just like guys like tying stuff. Like, I'm like, yeah, let me try it all. Like, I'll buy it off Instagram. I don't care. You know,
fun.
It's just cool to like try to go to local lake, you know, or when they stock and go. And, you know, I tortured my son a few times this winter. Like, we'd go and like the lake wasn't stocked. I'm like, why is there not a single soul? It's still dark, you know?
Yeah.
And my son's like, it's so cold. I'm like, I know. And it's like, you know, I cast out some power bait for him. I'm just like sitting here. I'm like, there's no trout here. You know, local lakes, the problem is they get fished out so quickly. And, you know, there's so much pressure on them. And I understand because people want to fish. And Irvine Lake's the biggest lake and it's closed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You know, so it's like you gotta go somewhere.
Prado is a pretty good lake. It's not too far.
Yeah.
I used to fish out a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like Prado.
Yeah. When Laguna Niguel was open, I used to fish that all the time.
Still open.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry.
When we had boats.
When, yeah.
You could rent the boats.
Yeah, you rent the boats. I used to.
Oh, no, I fished Laguna Niguel. I like that lake,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that was nice my one. Favorite. I'd fish trout there.
Do you ever fish Mission Viejo?
I haven't, but they had a die-off, right? And I don't,
yeah, I heard I'm they did. Sure I mean, I heard on. It used to be really good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I've never.
Yeah, I haven't fished.
But you get to fish some other cool lakes, so it's fine.
Yeah, my buddy John, who works at Okuma, another guy came for music, literally was in a band I signed to Roadrunner.
No comes way. From
Chain Reaction. Yeah, he works at Okuma.
What band did he play?
It was a band called Hardest. It was like a metal band. And he was out of the band rather quickly. I think he wanted to focus on, you know, family life and stuff. Mm-hmm. And but yeah, he works at Okuma. He lives on a lake out there in Ontario. And it's stupid good. I always text him, like, hey, I'm going to come by on the way home from LA tonight. You know, he's like, dude, come on. Because, you know, it's just like no one's fishing it.
Yeah.
It's one of those lakes that it's a community, but no one's fishing it.
Yeah.
You know, and it's really good bass fishing. And all the bluegill. You catch 100 bluegill. It's just
fun.
I take my kids. I just catch over and over again, you know, which is good for me. Like, I can catch bluegill. If someone's like, hey, you want to go bluegill fishing? I'm not going to say no.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I'm simple. I'm like, you want to catch bluegill? Sure. You want to go catch carp on corn? Yeah, let's
just
do it.
Let's just go fish.
let's just go fish, you know? Like, that's the thing. People are like, I have a ton of friends in music who are vegan or whatever. Like, oh my God. And I'm like, dude, I kill maybe 1% of what I catch.
Yeah.
You know, and it's always harvested and given to people to eat. Like, I don't freeze stuff and let it rot in the freezer and throw it away.
Yeah.
I hate that. I literally, like, I catch fish, my wife's like, hey, neighbors, whoever, like, you want bluefin tuna? It's like 20 bucks a pound. Like, it's all free. Come over.
Yeah.
You know, or people I work with on it, you know, I take good care of it. Dwayne does a really good job of bleeding and keeping it on ice. And we get it and, you know, clean it up and give it away.
Yeah.
You know, and like my neighbors, all my neighbors never had bluefin tuna before. This is weird.
I never had, it was a Toro.
Yeah.
And then Billy brought over some, and it fucking was like candy, bro.
I mean, sushi's like my weak spot. Like,
yeah.
If I go out to eat, like, sushi, like, I don't look at the prices. I'm just like, fuck it. Like, keep coming. Eat. Like, where that MP, the market price thing, it's just like, I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I just want it.
Yeah.
My best friend, he's in music. He's obsessed with sushi as well. And, yeah, we've done some regretful meals. He's like, how was that $1,000? There's only two of us, you know.
Just keep eating, bro.
Yeah, just keep eating. They're like, we didn't even drink. That's the worst part. It's like, damn. We're just there for the Toro, and, you know, that's what we're there for.
Yeah,
you know, the guy's like looking at us like, what are you doing? You want more? I'm like, yep, more, you know. So yeah, it's like, you know, you can rack up a bill drinking, but when you're just straight eating, like, it's savage. It's like, go home.
Yeah, right.
You didn't need another 20 pieces. Like, four or five was good.
But
you know?
I did.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all. It's really just with sushi. It's like, you gotta, you know, that's my weakness. Like,
yeah,
it doesn't stop. Like, it's whatever it costs, cool. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So once you scouted, you got a couple good bands under.
Yeah, we had some, you know, other like metal bands and stuff when we started rolling, and then. There's a little bit of irony here. I tried acquiring Fearless Records because I was friends with them at the time with Roadrunner. We were partly owned by Atlantic Records. So like, hey, let's try to make this work. Let's buy them. And we had the deal done, and we had a celebration dinner, and they pulled the deal, like our side.
Oh, really?
And Bob Becker, who is the founder, punk rock dude, founder of Fearless Records, fishes a lot.
He was in a punk band too, right?
Whitecaps. First singer of Whitecaps. Original singer.
There you go.
That's what I wanted you to say. Original singer of Whitecaps. So he fishes, you know, it's not to sidetrack, but Bob's an incredible bass fisherman. You know, fishes all over. I mean, we fish in the ocean a lot too. He introduced me to Stoked On Fishing guys, Andrew. Yeah. So we fish with those guys on the big boat, which is really nice. But Bob has, you know, tremendous bass resources, we'll say. a lake, we'll say. But so Bob and, you know, Bob and I fished with Kevin. We fished with Kevin. Kevin Lyman, if you don't know him, he's a founder of Warped Tour. Serial entrepreneur, even better human, really does a lot of work, philanthropic work, and just really good guy. But he is an avid fisherman. Loves fishing. You know, on tour, he'd stop and fish in wherever in Florida, you know, wherever he can go. So we fished a lot and trying to link up with him summer. I just texted him a couple days ago or maybe a couple weeks ago. I was like, hey, you know, we're doing these trips. He's like, hey, tell me which one, you know? So yeah, he's great. And, you know, it's like I said, it's like we get on the water, we shoot the shit, it's cool old stories, and everyone's just having a good time, you know? It's always about the vibe, you know? So, but yeah, so Bob, so we tried buying Bob's label at the time. I mean, he made out by not doing it. It was the biggest blessing ever. So he didn't do it, but,
so did
you know.
Because now you're in your position.
So full circle, you know, I come to the company in the last year, and Bob hired me. He's like, hey, I'm slowing down, I may retire. Being a chairman, Bob sold the company to a fantastic company called Concord Music Group. Huge, huge company, owned publishing, owns like, we own catalog. If no one understands what that is, it's owning the master rights of albums that already came out. You know, we own stuff like Nitro Records, you know, dude, we own stuff,
yeah.
Crazy jazz records. We own a ton of soundtracks,
wow.
You know, now Broadway stuff. So there's huge, awesome company. So Bob sold there and, yeah, I mean, he was going to kind of do a slower rollout retirement. He's like, no, I'm out. So myself and another person run the company. You know, it's great. I work with artists, a lot of them, mostly rock artists and, you know, from all walks of life. And it's great because it's almost like you meet people and you become great friends. You know, like there's guys in this band, I Prevail, I work with that are just... You know, the singer's gone through so much struggle with anxiety and depression, like more than I've ever seen anyone deal with. And it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not like a thing moment to talk about mental health. Like the dude struggles and he uses that to empower others. And it's the most honest thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
You know, and I've become such close friends with him through like his struggles and just talking about, cause you know, I had back surgery. I had back surgery. August 24th, literally like a few weeks after I put some big fucking bluefin on Dwayne. I was going to do it again. I would switch to the elephant stuff after that.
Yeah.
But it was like a few days before I was going to take a bunch of guys who don't know how to fish out on the Dwayne. I'm like, hey, I think I hurt myself like pretty bad. My right toe's going numb. It's like tremendous pain. But I was thinking in my head, I was like, I'm still going to go fishing.
Yeah, of course.
And then I had to get rushed into emergency surgery. And, you know, I had crazy back surgery. And I'll spare the long conversation, but there's a good chance I could not have walked again, and it was scary. And yeah. I woke up from surgery, and nothing worked from the waist down, period.
Fuck.
Yeah, so I thought in my head, it sounds crazy. I was just like, man, I'm only going to fish on lakes for the rest of my life. You know? I was so bummed. I was like, I'm never.
Is that the first thing you thought?
Yeah, I was like, I'm never going to be able to fish I can't throw iron on chasing on yellows. I can't do this anymore. That's what I love doing. It's like my favorite thing. And you know, I did a lot with Dwayne. I was like, yeah, I can't do this anymore, you know? And to be honest, with my legs, I've made a great recovery. I'm lifting every day. You know, so it's been a long time. I have like, you know, injury still, like my legs are numb and stuff, but I've made a pretty good recovery and I'm thankful for it. It's completely changed who I am in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
The silver lining is it just changed my mentality on everything. I don't see anything anymore as problems, like just solutions to problems. And I think everything in life should be your responsibility. You don't pass the buck. I think it's just made me a better person. It's definitely made me a better husband, different father, better friend. So no regrets there, except I was like, fuck, you know, I can't go in front of the Parker now. Like my legs, just my sea legs aren't there yet. And like, to be honest, since that I've been seasick like once or twice since, you know, which I wasn't a thing before. So I think
you got a little seasick when we went.
Yeah, out. I felt a little like, you know, I think so. Some of my balance is off.
Yeah.
Like I can't stand, like I can't, like, you know, and I tried playing basketball. Jesus. I just play basketball once a week, pickup games. I can't do that quite yet. I'm hoping I get there.
Yeah.
I lift every day and I'm trying to get, you know, get to the point where I'm comfortable on my legs, like my toes, my calves, my butt, my hamstrings are all numb.
Shit.
It's a weird feeling.
Yeah, I bet, man.
It's a weird feeling. You know, I had to learn how to walk again, learn how to drive a car, learn how to go to the bathroom, which is something I don't wish on anyone. But yeah, I mean, like I was like member fish. I was like, man, I'm sending Dwayne out with like randos, you know, and then my friend James. And then, I mean, they went and had a pretty good day on, you know, fishing Dorado and Yellowfin and stuff on kelp patties. But I remember, I was like, man, I really need to get better so I can fish. And the day they're out is I went to surgery, you know?
That's wild,
dude. Yeah. Like the doctor's like, hey, if I don't cut you open right now, you're never walking again. I'm like, fucking cut.
Was it that bad at the time, or you just said
the pain was so bad, but I've had back pain before and I thought it would just go away.
Didn't
it just intensified the pain and then the numbness
after a couple weeks?
No, days.
Oh, this happened quick.
Yes. This happened in like a matter of 3 or 4 days.
Shit.
Yeah. It was just like the pain was so bad when I was in the hospital in the wheelchair getting signed in. I could have died right there and been like, where do I sign? Like, you want to die, sir? Yes, please. Fuck. Like, sign me up. It was like insane. It was like you couldn't fidget. You couldn't stand. It was just like, I'm in so much pain. I'm going to die.
Yeah.
You know, and then they gave me some wild drug. It was like,
feel good.
I was like, oh my God, what is this? This is synthetic heroin. I forget what they call it, but 1 milligram put me down and out.
Something with a D?
Maybe.
Dilaudin?
So, yeah.
Because they gave my son that when he was in horrible pain.
Yeah.
And we're like, I don't know. And they gave it to him and he was just like, out.
Yeah.
But then it was scary. They try to wake him up and he's not waking up. And I'm like, oh, fuck.
Dilaudid, yeah.
Did that? Yeah, dude. And they fucking go, Andrew, and this big fucking 6'2 nurse fucking shakes him. He's like, yeah. And I'm like, yeah, maybe he doesn't need that anymore. They're like, you're probably right.
Oh, yeah. I mean, basically, they had to give it to me because they put me in the MRI tube and they're like, you can't move. And I was in so much pain. I was like, you got to do something. She's like, all right, like, you know, you're going to feel warm all over. No, they're like, it's going to go crazy. Like your body's going to race and then you're going to feel warm. And it's exactly as she described it. It felt like I can feel my veins and just like, just go nuts. And then it stopped. It's like, the world just melted away, you know? And then I'd get the MRI and they're like, oh my God, this looks like a hockey puck blown out of your back. And then,
oh my God.
And then they had to give me a catheter for the first time.
Whoa.
If you never had a catheter, it's just, you know, it's, I had to do it for like over a month.
My son had it for a week.
Yeah.
And I watched him and I had to help him.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, I can't, I don't know how you did it, man.
I don't know. I mean, thank God for my wife. You know, we have three young children and I shit you not when I'm,
so got, this was a year home, about a year ago.
This was, the summer of 2017.
Okay. So a couple of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had your youngest already or no?
Yeah, she was, you know, 6-7 months, right?
Oh, so, dude, it must have been hard, dude.
It was, yeah, I mean, it couldn't get worse. Like, you couldn't put yourself in a worse situation. You know, put on top of that, I had, you know, I had a big festival, like one of the biggest festivals we did on our own. And it,
that's another thing that you do that you didn't talk about.
Yeah.
He does festivals.
Yeah, too. We do music festivals. You know, we try to do, you know, just curate some cool lineups.
What are some big festivals you've done?
You know, I started doing California Metal Fest and Self Help Fest with Spandator member. I don't do those anymore. Chain Fest, which is basically Chain Reaction oriented bands. And we have a bunch lined up this year. I just did one called Swan Fest. You know, did like 7,500, but we do somewhere between the 5,000 and 15,000. We don't do the mega festivals. Mm-hmm. Maybe we will. We'll see. It's, to me, it's just about curating and making it a good experience.
Yeah.
You know, mega festivals are going to make millions of dollars. You know, everybody wants to make millions of dollars, but like there's so much that goes into that. So, yeah. So, you know, at the time, it was like end of 2017, it's like, oh, like can't fish on boats anymore. Can't fucking go to the bathroom. And then, you know, your festival, though it looks like it's a success, financially completely ruined me.
Shit.
Like to the point where it's like, oh my God, I filed bankruptcy, hundreds and, you know, $500,000 loss. Like,
yeah.
Your life's over. So I'm sitting there like, man, what did I do to deserve this? Can't pee.
Yeah.
Can't walk. You know, I was so lucky though. I had doctors that legit cared about me. You always hear like, you know, how the medical system doesn't really give a shit. And for the most part, there's a lot of truth to that. But I had doctors that were like, yo, you're going to beat this, you know, like strike your heel. Oh my God. You know, like I remember they were going to give this thing to shock my foot up. It's called a drop foot. And it's like, happens when you have a stroke a lot. When you raise your foot naturally goes up. Mine stays down. And it happens to people have strokes. So it worked on me. The machine worked on me. And they're like, just fucking beat this. Like, you got this. Like, yeah. don't depend on that. You know, like mm-hmm. strike your heel, work hard, you know? And I was like, I want to run. So like the strap me into the ceiling and run. Like, I want to jump, you know, I want to learn how to drive again.
Yeah.
You know, lucky for me, my physical therapist, she was a trail runner, like in crazy shape, vegan trail runner. And she was just encouraging. She's like, do it. Just go, you know? Yeah. So I didn't get like some college kid that was like learning how to be a physical therapist. She was a doctor.
Yeah.
Cause when you have neuro injuries, they have to give you, someone's actually gonna help you recover, you know? And like 6 months of recovery, I was like taking stairs like a normal person.
Fuck.
Yeah. Nice, there are days, you know, there are some days here and there, and there's weird side effects like, yo, what is going on? What am I feeling right now? Like,
yeah, with your nerves, oh, I'm sure, nerves, dude.
Right? Yeah. So yeah, there's a lot. It's all it is. It's all nerve damage. And like, dude, there's days I'm like, someone is cutting my foot off right now with a knife slowly. Like, it hurts so fucking bad. Like, what's going on? Like, I could be walking around and be like, oh my God, my foot's being ripped in half, you know?
Dude.
Yeah. So there are weird side effects. And I'm just like, whatever. But again, the silver lining was like, you know, I learned how to, I think, put things in my head better and, you know, different, address stress differently, you yeah. know? And it's made me so much better at everything in life. Maybe not casting, you know, iron off a bow, but everything else, you know, I can do things and I put things in better perspective, you know?
Yeah.
And it's weird because it's like, why did it take me to 34, 35 years old and a severe injury, you know, to get to the point where I'm like, oh, I kind of understand life a little more, you know?
I think that's with everything, though. Right? Yeah. I mean, like, I can't believe I had a kid when I was 23. Yeah. When I stopped playing in bands at yeah. that time because of the kid.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't get to do a lot of the touring, but you get older and you go, okay, I get it. I guess you get little things to remind you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I wouldn't change it.
Yeah.
As crazy as that sounds, definitely. I wouldn't change it, you know? I just want to, you know, the only thing is one day maybe I'll cast, you know, iron again and catch some yellowtail that way. But I could do it from the back of the boat. Mm-hmm. But yeah, not to go too far off subject, but yeah.
So now you're doing you're the president of
Fearless. So yeah, so now I'm the president of the label, which, you know, is an insane amount of work. You know, obviously overseeing signing the artists, making the records, which is a big deal because so much competition out there. And, you know, I like to get involved in how they tour and then looking at the financial side of things. You know, it's like, you know, I've been fortunate. I've been an entrepreneur for a minute, so I can look at shit and be like, good, bad, bad, good. fix, you know, I think anyone that owns a business, a lot of guys and a lot of entrepreneurs in the fishing business, and I think it's so fucking awesome now. You know, like, it's like you have to reevaluate your business every month. You wouldn't be doing yourself a disservice if you're not looking at everything every month and saying, how can we change to be better? You know, and sometimes better doesn't mean making more money in that minute. Mm-hmm. You know, there has to be strategy long term. So I've been fortunate. So it does, you know, it does. And I have great people. There's, you know, I have a CFO who's, you know, more than a CFO. He's an incredible consultant and everything in life. You know, he's a pretty much a financial mastermind. So, you know, I do that and I do that in LA every day. I live in Orange County. So I do a lot of driving. You know, my schedule right now is pretty gnarly. It's a 4:30 a.m. to 11 p.m. daily.
Fuck.
Yeah. I go to the gym in the morning and I do this. I could go to the gym at 7, but I go at 5 because I have kids and I want to see them and spend time with them.
In the morning, right?
In the morning.
Yeah.
And and I get about a half hour before they wake up when I get back at 6. And that half hour, I do nothing work related. It's almost meditation, but
drink coffee.
Too lazy to make coffee. No, I do. I read bullshit news.
There you go.
I read Apple News.
Yeah.
You know, I read everything. I want to see what's going on in the world, you know, Venezuela today. Like, just, you know, it's like, man, like, how fucking lucky are we that we weren't born in Venezuela? Or how we weren't born in fucking Eastern China, you know, like where they're trying to erase your fucking brain because you don't believe what everyone else believes. Like, how fucking lucky are we? Like, then that's, again, more perspective. Like,
yeah.
It's dialing up like, hey, like, man, I could be grumpy. I have a long day, whatever. I send 2 hours of traffic each way to work. I'm stressed out because the world's coming down on me. It's like, yeah, not in Venezuela right now.
Like, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Shit's okay, you know?
Yeah.
And that's, you know, again, so that's, I do just a half hour of just bullshit news reading.
Yeah.
And that's my form of meditation. He's like, oh, learn how to meditate. I'm like, I don't know how to do that. And hopefully I can get there. I've read books on meditation. Mm-hmm. I hear there's an app. I've downloaded the app, but there was too many things to do. I'm not an app guy, but it was like, my method for meditation is quiet. And the most quiet is that time in the morning for me, you know, and I get home at night and I want to see my kids, put them to bed, spend time with my wife and get to bed and check emails before I go to bed and stuff like that. So I think balancing my life out, you know, is become difficult because I wear a lot of hats, but you know, every time I want to just like relax or plan or do something, it's always outdoors. It's not always necessarily fishing. It is hiking and camping, and shooting and hunting. There's all those involved. Those are more planned out things, but I'm lucky. I live in the city of Orange and, you know, we have a lot of great resources, little lakes, amazing hikes, just beautiful outdoor spaces to be in 10 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's literally like a 10, 15 minute drive.
Yeah.
And often there's no one around, you know, there's not a ton of people doing these things. So I'm super lucky. I think people that live in Orange probably don't know everything they have available to them, you know? There's a redwood forest in New Orleans. You know what I mean? Like, that's cool.
Yeah, definitely.
And like the you know, like the little things, like the history. There's, Orange County has a lot of cool history too. I love where I live. Obviously, I'm riding Orange County here a little bit. It's the city of Orange in particular. It's just a fucking great place to live. And like, you know, we're not too far from the beach. And you know, when I moved to Orange, my wife's like, we can't be that far away from the beach. You know, I'm like, well, and then I showed her Orange and she goes, you know, I lived in Orange. Do you remember Mike Milford?
Yes,
Mike
I Milford, do. I remember.
Mike Milford sang for a band, Scars Tomorrow. He's an artist manager and works in music still today. And he's joy of a dude.
One of the nicest dudes I've ever met. Yeah. So nice.
He was my roommate when I moved to Orange County. Mm-hmm. You know, that's literally, I when I met him, Mike Milford, for the first time, I met him at a first class pizza that all my friends worked at in Orange, Santa Ana, like on the border there. I'm like, I just had a shitty day. Like you know, the honest truth is my brother was crazy on drugs. My sister came home from college. He tried hitting her with a bat. Legit. Fuck. I stepped in. He had a hammer. I hit his head with the hammer. I smashed his head open, like shit. On accident. You know, I don't know. You get caught up in it. And I was covered in blood. I had a white shirt on. He used to call me Andy White Shirt for a little bit. I was covered in blood still. I literally just went and drove. I was like, I need somewhere to live. I can't go home.
Yeah.
Cops are going to arrest me. Like, it's a disaster.
Mm-hmm.
And Mike Milford met me there and I was covered in blood. He's like, yeah, we can share a room.
Good old Mike.
Yeah. Just, yeah,
we it's can, like a teddy bear. Dude.
Yeah. We're going to share a room. I'm like, great. And the funniest story, Davey and I ended up working at the shittiest place ever. It's called Adventure City in Stanton.
Oh God. I'm sure half the people know exactly where the fuck that is, dude.
If you're going to take your kids there, I don't know. Just don't. Knott's is like the same price and it's like way sweeter. Knott's is like way sweeter. I have Disney passes and Knott's. Just go to fucking Knott's. It's way better.
Don't give away the secret.
Yeah. Point of our secrets. Knott's is sick. But yeah, I mean, so Davey and I, you know, Davey's in bands and everything. We all, you know, we worked the shittiest job ever, but I had to, you know, and I shared a room with Mike Milford. I paid $200 a month and literally shared a room in Orange. So I liked Orange a lot already.
Yeah.
So once I showed my wife Orange, I'm like, look, it's great. The Circle, it's like this cool place. You know, it's like, doesn't feel so Orange County. Doesn't have these like cookie cutter homes or anything. So, you know, Orange has always been like, I ride for Orange County. LA is great too. I love the South Bay. I'm just attached from it. I just haven't been around it for so long.
Yeah.
You know, San Diego's heaven on earth, but you know,
Too far.
Well,
dude, this was a long one. Thanks for coming on. Do you have a local tackle shop you like to go to?
You know, I like the Longfin.
Okay.
Because they have everything in stock.
Yeah.
And everyone that works there is really nice. I like Performance Tackle when I go there. Mm-hmm. I'm usually not around there, but I've come in there with like, you know, almost like dumb questions and they've always been really great.
Exactly.
Yeah, and there's a spot here in Brea that has always
Fisherman's Access.
Yes. They always have the great great bass gear.
Seth Nyswanger. There you go.
If you want to spend money, you go there. Longfin too, though. I mean, you know, they just have, I don't know how these, they have everything in stock.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you have everything? Like I can go there and be like, I want this rod and it's there.
Yeah.
It's incredible. And like I said, I think, you know, I was a kid and I walked into tackle stores. If you go to Turner's, they kind of treat you like shit. And Turner's doesn't even have anything in stock at all, period. It's unbelievable how they don't get on their stuff.
You got one right there too, buddy.
Yeah, I can walk there. you know, it's, but you go into those stores and the guys want, they want, you know, they want to take you fishing. They want you to win, you know, and that, I think that's cool. I think people should be educating people on fishing and encouraging them just like I do. You know, I take dudes out who have never been on boats.
It's always fun.
Go let people have fun. You know, there's no competition, you know, like that whole, like every, like catch the fish and crossing lines and sport boat stuff. It's like, that's the fun of it. You know, like that's like nuts to me. That's like the panic. Like, oh, this is so cool. Like, I often sit, if I'm ever on a sport boat, I sit back and just watch it all. You know, like, that's sick. You know? Like, West Coast sport fishing's insane. Like, where in the world do you see this?
Exactly.
You know, guys are losing their minds catching 200-300 yellowfin fucking, you know, at certain points of the year. It's like miles out of the harbor.
Yeah.
You know? I can't beat that.
Not at all.
No, it's the best.
Well, dude, thanks for coming on.
Yeah.
It's great catching up again. Of course, we'll probably go fishing more, but...
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. This is a little different episode, but this is kind of, what I've kind of been aiming for is getting dudes on that just love fishing too. I hope you guys enjoy this one and see you next time.